We're going to be like this the whole time.
I think this is what we need to do.
Jeff, if there is ever a charity in your name, can it be called Clapping for Jeff?
Yeah.
It's just people clapping for as long as they can clap.
I'm tired. You got to clap for Jeff.
I can see the promotion
you
now.
10 hours of clapping.
Jeff, little children going, I got
we
the clap
We said we do 10 hours
Jeff.
Of clapping.
I know.
Yeah. And Jeff so, needs clapping? The clap. Jeff needs the clap.
We're either clap. Either way, this is fun.
All the high fives.
And now I picture that monkey toy.
With the walking and the cymbals.
Ching.
But the monkey toy could stop.
I am Philip.
I am Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next at Bats.
And we're here today with the Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers.
Hi.
Rice.
Hi, Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers.
Hi.
Can you introduce yourselves, please?
I am Amy Zajac.
I am Cicely Lang.
This is Zoa.
I'm Jeff, the Red Ranger.
I'm Mike, the White Ranger.
And this is Bryce Kalla, the director and tech person.
And for the first couple of people, who do you play in the show?
This is Amy again, and I'm the Yellow Ranger.
This is Cicely, and I am the Black Dragon Ranger.
I'm Zoa, and I'm the Orange Ranger, Orange Tiger
Orange
Ranger.
Tiger.
Nice. Cool. And as always, I am joined today by...
Philip Simondet, the Next at Bat with a Hat Ranger. And your host, as always...
is Matthew McLeod, Next at Bat Sans Hat Ranger.
Yeah!
So, thank you for being on the show, everybody. And just for our listeners who... don't know, and to give some credit, there are a couple of Rangers who couldn't be here today. Bryce, do you want to mention who they are and what they play?
Yeah, we're missing Michael Blomberg, who is our Green Ranger with the Mantis Zord.
Mantis Zord.
And we're missing Will Roberts, who is our Blue Ranger, who has the Eagle Zord.
Hawk.
It's a hawk.
Hawk.
Ah, failed again.
Bryce, you're
it's
fired
all right,
from your own
Bryce.
Show.
Do you know anything eagle? About this?
I don't know this show. I just stopped thinking about it after we started. Because it's their show now. It's not mine anymore.
Oh.
Bryce, it's always going to be your show. Don't
it's
worry, buddy.
Oh.
It's okay.
It's all right, okay, Bryce.
None of us has any tech training, so you're the only one that can do that.
And you brought us all together.
You're our inspiration, dude.
I guess.
Bryce, get up off the ground. You can join the podcast again.
Okay, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
I think we're starting the improv a little too early.
No such thing. I've met improvisers before. One of the things that has made me think very, very highly of your show was when... Will was on our show not too long ago with Kristen for Licensed Krill, another group that he's in, Kristen Pichette. I had asked him what he's most excited about with improv going forward, and he talked about the show, and he talked very, very passionately about it, about how he had kind of become disinterested. And I feel bad that I'm talking for him right now, but anybody who wants
to
go back and listen to it. But he did speak very passionately about how this show like reignited his passion for improv because he started to see things that he had not seen as possibilities before. Hmm. And just to play and to, yeah. So go back and listen to what Will said because I don't want to try to sum up his words. But it got me very excited to talk to you guys about what's going on and what is so fun about the show. I've seen it and it is incredibly fun for the audience. But as performers, what have you been getting out of it so far? And maybe Bryce, let's start with you had the concept.
Right.
What were you thinking when you came up with it? And then let's talk to the performers about what you guys have been getting out of it.
Well, it was funny. I was doing front of house one night at Huge. And I was actually...
Huge Theater uptown in Minneapolis.
Theater. Yes, go there all the time. And I was talking to someone, and I don't know what happened, but Power Rangers and improv came up in the same sentence or paragraph or whatever.
Yeah.
And a light went off in my head that said, there should be a group that does Power Rangers sure. on the stage, much like Star Trek The Next Improvisation
sure.
does with Star Trek.
Were you always a fan?
I grew up around Power Rangers. I mm-hmm. was the Red Ranger for second grade Halloween, nice. Which was actually the second costume. I was gonna be like a vampire or something, and I'm like, no, Red Ranger is the one. So my poor mom bought a second costume for me that year. But yeah, I was always a fan, and I don't know what it was, but I just clicked. That should be a show. I hope somebody does this show. And yeah. then I was like, yeah. well, wait a minute, I should just do it because I know how to.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it, and it's like, it was like, why don't you do it? You should do it. You would be so good at this.
Well, and it was, and I went home that night, and the wheels were just turning. I'm like, oh yeah, we could put like Zordon's face on the screen, and we could like, and then this and that, and I made the logo the next day.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before, I didn't even have any idea of who was going to be in it or what
the
it
logo's
was going to. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah, I made that logo really quick, and then I was showing it to people on my phone, just kind of like, hey, what do you think of this idea? And I was just kind of flashing it like, here, I got an idea for a show. I'm going to show you the picture and you tell me what you think. And people were like, yeah, I'm on. This is going to
yeah.
be awesome.
Yeah.
And I just went with it. And that's what it was. I held auditions, and these people mm-hmm. all did a really fantastic job. And the rest is history. That was like, what, May, June of last year?
It was like April, May.
Yeah,
I just
it was a while
back
ago.
The other day, mm-hmm. and it was, yeah, farther back than I realized.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
And mm-hmm. I guess the goal was just to workshop it to the point of it being ready to be a performance. And then if we get a show, great. And hopefully that show will attract enough people that we would get more shows. And luckily we got into Go-Go, Improv Go-Go at Huge Theater, and they liked it a lot, and so they gave us our current run on Wednesdays, all throughout February, and then again in April. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And how about for you guys, the performers, what's this experience been like? Has it been as transformative as, say, Will's experience has been?
It's been a great experience for me. I've always wanted to do a narrative form, and I hadn't done it, and so I had yeah. you know, some qualms about that. But in one of the things that I get out of it with this particular form, and I've talked amongst the group about this, is a lot of improv can often be man versus man,
mm-hmm.
and this is the team versus an external force. So right. it just feels good. I don't know what to say, but it's so much fun to do. So
well, when I first thought about auditioning, I was a little hesitant because I thought, oh, I'm too old for this. But it turns out that that's not the case. I had no idea going into the audition whether Bryce saw me as a possible Power Ranger, but it was so much fun. And there's very few opportunities to really just not only be positive, but completely hammy.
Mm-hmm.
And get away with it and just be completely physical in a totally joyous way. It was just, I'm having a blast, and I can't help it.
Well, and the tone is one of the great things about the show.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time trying to find how to get that sort of tone, that sort of after-school special.
Right.
Like, everybody is friends with everybody else, yeah. and everybody loves everybody else and supports everybody else. We did warm-ups to try and figure out that tone, and I think that's something that we've really well captured, is the really, like, happy tone of the Power Rangers world. So.
And the earnestness.
Yeah.
The earnestness. Is that the right way?
Yeah, earnestness. Yeah.
Well, and what was most interesting to me about that, too, is that, you know, when this started up, I binge watched all of season one of which is 60 episodes of Power Rangers.
Good God.
Jeez. Yeah, and it was rough. You know, there were a few of them that I might have slept through, but.
Pumpkin Rapper.
But I mean, no, you can't sleep through.
No,
pumpkin.
Not that one.
Yeah, no, but. But I've been treating it so seriously and like trying to overanalyze the show to the point where I knew it so well that the campy nature, I forgot how funny that is, because that was just an important part. Like, we had to do that. And so that first show, I thought going into it, we were just going to have, oh, yeah, that's a pretty good show. But the audience, like, I remember when Zoa said something like, oh, you guys can do it. And the audience just loved it. It was just the camp. Oh, yeah. It was just the happiest, like.
Sure.
People were cheering and applauding at places we didn't think. Cause, I mean, we do know that it's different in front of an audience than rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
But doing right and having people applaud, you're like, oh, yay!
I guess it was fun.
It's that kind of thing where you know, they talk about not going for the joke.
Right.
Sometimes where just the character and the tone of the character can be what's funny about the scene.
Yeah.
And we didn't even think about that going into our shows. We didn't even think that that was a funny aspect to it. We just knew that that was something that we had to capture about Power Rangers to present it well.
It's an essential trope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it ended up being, this is actually really funny. Us playing these, you know, super positive characters is something that's actually very funny about the show.
Well, and I mean, as I said, as an audience member, I've seen you guys, and I think that you managed to do that and play at the top of your intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, you're able to do that without making your characters, like, stupid or ignorant.
Right.
Because that's a real easy trap to fall into. Like, I'm going to be so positive because I don't know anything about this world. but you don't do that. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
is that something that you consciously worked on?
Part of that's the show, too, because these, even playing to the top of your intelligence level, these characters were kind of like dippy high school students who were still 30. But they still were... noticed that the world had troubles because they had a fundraiser every other show.
Right.
But they also realized that they had the ability to do something about it because they were Power Rangers, because they were having those fundraisers. They were working towards something, and that's the nice thing about being a Power Ranger is that you're working towards making the world a better place, and that's where the positivity comes from and the intelligence. Mm-hmm.
I think the other fun thing is that when those little dark moments do slip in, you know, or those little moments of internal distress happens to a Power Ranger, it's a wonderful way to see an alternative way of dealing with it that you don't often see in other improvised sets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we approach it as it's all right, instead of I'm going to make it worse for you. And yet at the same time, we do make it worse because then everything becomes a monster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really fun, interesting way of doing it.
We seem to have painted Zordon as this tragic character. Zordon probably has the most darkness out of any of the characters that... we've created for the show.
Right.
Partially because he gets played by so many different people.
It's been a long day.
The one time I played him, that was the only time I broke character. I couldn't stop laughing while I was trying to do his voice. I couldn't do it.
One thing I think about with the can-do attitude of the Improv Rangers is I like to think of the juxtaposition of they're going for it against kind of like today's big problems. So I like to think of like the Improv Rangers holding a bake sale for climate change. Yeah. You know, like we can do it. We can raise, you know, we can bake cookies and stop this climate change. So I don't know. That just amuses me.
Even though the heat from their ovens is just contributing.
Exactly.
Damn it, Philip. Stop being such a Zordon.
Well, and not to mention all the cane sugar pulled from those rainforests.
GMO cane sugar.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you made the connection, Bryce, about improv and the Power Rangers, because there is this, like, intrinsic positivity to the Power Rangers, and there is an intrinsic positivity to improvisation. The foundational principle being yes and, not no but.
Right.
Not, you know, stand up, sardonic, you know, self-reflective, self-loathing.
You haven't seen my duo
comedy.
Sad Prob.
No, I mean, there is some of that, of course, and we see it. But the foundation of improvisation is collaboration,
right?
And do you think that that helps? You know, like you said, when the audience sees things like everybody yelling right together, they go nuts for that shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think that that helps this group?
There's something to be said about the fact that, I mean, we don't We don't really have a whole lot of, you know, your standard
ennui.
The transaction scenes and the going out to dinner and one person is just a waiter, kind of like a lot of the scenes that we've done are multiple people on the stage at a time, and whenever there's a problem, there's multiple people solving it or multiple putties interfering with it or whatever. But it's really interesting to see team improv. I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. From the tech booth, it's really fun to watch how you guys solve the problem. Because every show, put everything aside, take out all the Power Rangers stuff and all of that. You're actually telling a really good story and wrapping it up like in a realistic way. And not a really sloppy way, but like a really legitimate, that's how you solve that. Of course the socks are raining on the city where the homeless live. You know, like, it's of course that's how it happened at the end. You know, it's just like... I don't know. So it's really interesting to see how it gets all wrapped up. I don't know.
Well, I think, too, that and this goes back to some extra kudos for Bryce, is that we worked really hard at the very beginning to become a team, to take turns, and to really listen to each other. And that is something I think that I would like to see more teams do, but it's been really special, I think, within our group. That we do listen to each other and give each other a chance to speak.
I mean, the what I learned early on from Hannah Wideven, actually, was with narrative improv, people aren't necessarily going to remember the plot elements.
Right.
People are going to remember the emotional connections. Mm-hmm. So, like, my favorite episode that we've done is not like, oh, we fought this monster. It was the one where Michael had difficulties at work, and there was some fun stuff with like him just like us trying to console him and counsel him and help him through, and we ended up throwing him an impromptu jam session or concert
in a radio shack
to cheer him up.
And it's like that emotional stuff is the stuff that it tends to stick with you.
Yeah.
So more so than we fought this monster and we did these kind of cool moves on stage and that sort of thing.
And Bryce, you beat me to it. I was going to say, all right, now taking away all of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers trappings, you are still seven people on stage together, oftentimes with guests. Isn't that right? Or
coming soon.
Coming soon
with guests.
You haven't done guests yet.
We will be having guests in April.
I thought you already had them. My fault.
No,
it's good. And
so you've not been to all of our shows, I see.
I didn't say all of them.
He never said that.
No clapping.
We've been our own guests so far.
Exactly. Yes. So, but you are still seven people on stage, like Bryce. You said that there are a lot of group scenes, and you make it work really, really well. It seems really easy. And I can't think that that's because of the, you know, trademark trappings of the show. What is it about your rehearsal process and about, you know, you working together that has made it easy to not have, you know, working cross purposes or fighting for powers and stuff like that?
Part of it's been our warm-ups. Like, we... Bryce created warm-ups and so did the rest of us working together that were based off of the show. And one of my favorites is It's Okay, Zach, because the character of Zach in Power Rangers.
Which we kind
of
did at the beginning of this podcast. We did in It's Okay, Bryce.
Yeah. He always had the worst thing happen to him, and everyone else was incredibly supportive. They would always just say, hey, Zach, it's okay. I know you don't know how to study, but that's what Billy is for, you know? Yeah. They would always bring that up. So all of our rehearsals and warm-ups have been about us projecting and making someone else the focal point of the scene, and then we've translated that into the show by whoever is a ranger. They step out, and then it's like we treat them like a ranger, so that's how we focus on them being that character.
And I was thinking along those same lines, the specific exercises we did where we'd all be on stage and have to train ourselves to not talk over each other, to get our short sentences out. And because like you said, it's hard if you've got seven people on stage.
It's real hard.
Even with the best of intentions to not do that. So
well, and then each improviser is playing several parts too. So right. it's more populated than seven people. It's mm-hmm. just
we talked in the beginning and a few times in rehearsals about how a lot of the if you watch the show, each actor only has they have like they speak in kindergarten sentences.
Real
they're
clipped.
Really short yeah. and it's just to the point. There's not really a whole lot of monologuing going. And if there is, it's like single sentence monologue. Man, I really wish they remembered my birthday today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's the whole thing. And the putties show up and it's a fight sequence now.
Yeah.
Because realistically, those first graders that are coming home from school, you know, and turning on Fox or whatever it was, you know, their attention
they can't
span.
Hang with a soliloquy.
Yeah, yeah. They need to see the whole fighting part and the transforming robots. Mm-hmm. So the dialogue is very stripped down. So we've done a few things that way.
And the nice thing about that is that you don't have time to hem or haw yeah. and decide, oh, well, what am I going to feel today? Exactly. It's like you got to come right out and you just got to own it right out of the bat. And that's fun.
and so another big part of the show is monsters
yeah.
and fighting monsters.
Yes.
How
just physicality
and physicality and in general
puns.
Yeah and oh. and puns oh. But so let's talk about the fighting of monsters for the moment
not the puns
not yet we'll get to that believe me yeah. we'll get to that but the fighting of monsters how do you guys handle that and what sort of trust exercises do you guys do to be able to work together in a potentially unsafe way on stage? But it's not unsafe, of course. At least I hope not.
It's totally unsafe. Yeah. We don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
I stopped bringing the switchblade and they've been very happy about
that. Nice.
No
good.
More stitches, a little bit of black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've had any like injuries really. No. I mean, maybe some sore spots or like I feel like most of the sore muscles come from before rehearsal and like, okay, guys, hold off.
Well, early on, Bryce brought in someone to help us work on stage combat.
On stage combat.
And safe stage combat. Sure. We actually went through a lot of different iterations of the fights. Yeah. And we're mm-hmm. still kind
and
of
we're still working on it.
Working on different iterations.
You have to. You have to always, you can't yeah. ever stop and mm-hmm. or else it becomes unsafe. Sorry, that's from my experience. Sorry.
That's his PSA moment.
Yeah. I've done a lot of stage combat.
You're
shit.
Right, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks. So thanks. I was feeling point. Really down about myself, guys.
Hey, you're the one that set this up along with Philip. You should always feel good about doing something creative.
Yeah, you really achieved something today, you know?
Really?
We know that you always have something really good to share.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
Look at how you bring the improv community together.
Thanks, so.
It's a big contribution.
Aw.
Hey, let's go hand out some flyers so the people will listen to this show.
Can we make it rain on the Twin Cities of flyers?
Yeah. I own a flyer.
It'll blip. I like how I've not clapped at all during this. Everyone else has.
You were asking about the fighting and the yeah. safety.
Yeah.
And really, the closest thing we've had to an injury is when somebody throws themselves against the wall or on the floor.
Yeah. I did hit my head on the wall of huge during a show. That's once, right. So.
I'm sorry. I probably phrased the question incorrectly. I'm not interested in, oh, what's the biggest injury you guys had? I'm more interested in, like, as far as I know, other than Last Action Movie, you're the only group that is incorporating stage combat into an improv show on a routine basis.
Bearded men
often do. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. They do.
Some of their genres more than others.
Some of their genres yeah. more than others. You're absolutely right. So I'm just wondering, what approach have you guys taken? What sort of training have you done? And how do you stay current with it so it's not unsafe? I didn't want to focus on the safety part.
Right. Part of it is that some of us do have... like myself, I have stage combat training. Sure. I know Cicely did karate.
I've done karate in the past.
A lot of us are very aware of physical movement. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. it was drilled into my head about safety in stage combat. Yeah. So I sometimes have a stick up my butt and I'm like, hey guys, we can't something or other. But then also part of our stage combat is that it's not going to look realistic at all. Mm-hmm. We're still doing the whole wind-up thing, give everyone the opportunity to see that an attack is coming, but we're always like punching down stage or doing a big sweeping motion.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
What we've ended up on right now, I mean, we started off with more like slow motion, sort of like, can we do slowed down fight scenes? And what we've ended up at right now is a closer to real time, but just with very wide throws.
Mm-hmm.
There were some really cool experiments in those earlier days that we did some of the slow motion stuff, and it always, every single time we did it, it ended up in a big hog pile. and then the person underneath would do like a massive like everybody goes flying. It was what's the scene from The Matrix Reloaded? Yeah. It was just that every time, and it was cool to begin with, and then it went to that, and it's like, okay, guys, we're not really improvising anymore. We're doing the same thing every single time.
Back.
Yeah, it has been a while since we've done a hog pile.
We have continued to evolve it though a bit. Mm. I mean, telegraphing is huge, but with the putties, one in front, one in back, and recently we were incorporating going down the aisles, and so I think we keep building on it, and it is a huge impact to the audience. It's the one thing I routinely, our group gets complimented on after shows. People I don't know will come up to me and say, wow, your fight scenes are great, after every show.
Was it just the last show that we incorporated?
Yeah,
I was
going to say, as far as keeping it fresh, we put aside time during every practice to work on some aspect of the fighting and make sure it. We're pushing that forward. We're figuring out new ways to do that and what works for us, because we still are figuring it out.
The other thing too that we do, which I think is really important, is that we're a big group of very different people who have different physical capabilities and different sizes too. So stage combat between short little squat me and tall Jeff is really interesting. So we all have to kind of incorporate our own style in order to make it look right on stage. You know, I end up throwing a lot of powerball type stances because that's I'm short and close to the ground. It's hard for me to get a headshot on anybody.
Powerball?
Well,
you know, you should do the you like fireball roll the ball or Hadouken thing.
Or, I could.
Yeah, Hadouken.
Or Kamehameha.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we have going for us, too, is if you look at the Improv Rangers, the fighting is not realistic there either. I mean, it's people doing flash, you know, dance moves and karate martial arts moves and stuff. So there's we get to play with that and still honor the show. So that's fun.
I'm sorry, I'm just remembering hip-hop Aikido right
now. Yes.
dance martial arts.
Yeah.
That's good times. We've been doing a lot of, like, we've been adding, instead of just punches and kicks, trying to throw in more grapple type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And really the reactions are what sells it more than the attack.
100%.
Yeah, so just flipping around and trying to use the space and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Are you going to incorporate wire work?
That's next season.
Tiger, Hidden Dragon next season.
Oh, nice. And we talked a little bit about that too, about the animal styles of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
You know, and when we got, each person got their Zord, we decided to have set Zords. We, for a while, were rehearsing as just making up the Zords based on the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it just,
that was pretty weird. Yeah.
It got kind of strange. We had a lot of rakes.
we were using like household objects and stuff as Zords, and it was really fun in rehearsal, but then you just start kind of going, okay,
what was the pterodactyl?
It was one that was all puns.
It was
dinosaurs.
It's all my fault because I can't pronounce
what was that? I don't remember.
Some sort of ceratops.
Yeah, it was a
there was apple something. Apple ceratops. I don't remember. Apple ceratops or something.
That sounds right. Apple ceratops is right.
But then there would be like calling on the Zord of the pencil or calling on the Zord of,
the garden hose.
Yeah.
I mean, we had MJ Marsh from the Bearded Men in once, and something that he, because they have developed a lot of genre shows over the years, and something that he sort of counseled us to do is don't be afraid of setting some of this stuff in stone early on so that you have less to think about during the show. You know, it might be flashy to make up your Zords based on a suggestion at the beginning of the show, but it's going to be a lot easier on you to do good improv. Mm-hmm. If you set some of the stuff in stone, you can explore that a little bit more and get deeper.
Look
on
at their D&D show.
Yeah. They set quite a bit of that beforehand with their, especially with their character.
Yeah.
They set a lot about their character beforehand.
They have to. It's so complicated. Yeah.
Well, and the extra fun part for us is that we start to build backstories.
Yeah.
Yep. And some of them are really interesting.
Michael Blomberg has a wife. And, we don't really know if she loves him or not. There's a lot of question about their relationship.
But she did go to the dance with him.
She did go to the Valentine's dance with
him. He didn't know if she would. He had to ask her.
That was the problem of the whole episode.
It seems to me like she does love him, and he's just not confident in that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you think is on the horizon for the group? You did say that there's going to be special guests, special guest villains, I hope.
We're going to start incorporating guests into the rehearsals pretty soon here, next couple of weeks. And then in our April run, we'll have that April 1st show will just be regular, but then every show after that will be guests. Mm-hmm. And there's some
the
big
April
no's.
April 1st show will be regular.
Nothing different at all.
Right.
I think I'm just going to put you guys into the intro to Beetleborgs or something for the video intro.
That is a very good point that I want to bring up. The intro video that Bryce created for this show is phenomenal.
Fantastic.
It's more phenomenal.
And that was one of the first places that we started establishing stuff about our characters, because Bryce asked us to each think of an activity that we could be doing in that intro video.
Oh, yeah.
And that was where our characters started taking shape, was around that activity and what kind of... So I actually, my activity, not to brag, but my activity is baseball in the video. So I've kind of created a little bit of this meathead-y sort of character. I just remember doing a lot of lines. Just like, I'm not smart. You guys figure it out, sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just a dumb jock.
How is that bragging?
It's bragging because I'm so good at creating characters. It's because I'm not a dumb jock. I am a sensitive and smart improviser, but I'm good at playing a dumb jock. So bully on me.
And now's the time in the show where I'm going to throw the microphone back to me for...
not to brag, but I'm going to take a drink of water while you do this.
No, this is fine. And
I will simul-drink with you.
I think Matt's Continental Congress. Let's give that to Megan.
Matt's Continental Congress, yeah.
All right. This is a new segment in the show called Matt's Continental Congress, where I'm going
to
throw you...
Are we
going
to have to vote on articles?
No, you just answer some questions that I'm going to be asking pretty much every group. There will be some specialized stuff, but I just want you to answer quickly. If you could improvise with anybody throughout history, who would that person be? Go.
Carol Burnett.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Tim Conway.
Richard Nixon.
Robin Williams.
Ooh. Michelangelo.
Nice.
Is it the turtle or the artist?
Combined.
Zoe, you got one?
I'm a slow thinker.
That's okay.
And I also have a really hard time picking favorites of anything, including colors or anything.
Is it because you feel bad for the other colors?
No.
Oh.
No, it's because I like so many things.
Yeah, I understand.
I was the kid at the Baskin and Robbins 22 flavors, imagining each one and then narrowing it down to 12 and then narrowing it down to 10 and then narrowing it down to 3. I'm that person.
And then they closed.
Yeah.
Well, the only
one I knew I didn't want was vanilla. Just because.
Yeah.
You could have that anywhere.
Well, if you think of an answer, feel free to listen.
I'll add it in.
Yell it out.
If you guys could layer in any traditional improv form into your current form, what would it be?
Deconstruction.
Nice. Oh, that's just a plug.
No, it's not. It's not a plug.
I'm going to go with a new one I just learned about the other day. Commedia dell'arte.
Oh, yeah.
Would be fun.
I think a La Ronde where we follow, where we follow like the villains, starting with like one villain to the next and... in interaction with the Rangers and then through the entire world of Power Rangers.
I would love to see a close quarters in Rita's palace.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yes.
We almost did that.
Almost.
I would love to add in a follow the lever. So like then if Goldar or somebody leaves or Bulk or Skull.
That would be really cool.
It's funny because I think of it as kind of a close quarters. It's just that they're not necessarily close together.
Yeah,
but there
quarters.
Is this whole kind of like, in the meantime,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, small town. Can I do another?
Maybe partially because we're beaming up into Zordon's control place. So.
Yeah.
Another one that we've kind of played around with in practice, but a mono scene just set in the control center with Zordon there. So it's just like, it was like kind of a life, a day in the life of Zordon and Alpha.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that reminded me of something else I loved in rehearsal, though. Yes. Not so much form, but we played with genres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doing it in the Old West or with British accents. Or
oh, wow.
Yeah, there was some...
Some of those got pretty strange.
What was the... We did a soap opera.
Yes.
We also had a rehearsal where we split time and went back to... It went into the computer, half of the people,
to
half
Oregon
of the Rangers.
Trail.
And we're in the Oregon Trail for real. And that was just so awesome.
Yeah, we had every Ranger fighting in that one. That was awesome.
So three of them separate from the other three.
Because they could be each other's putties and everything. So we were doing a lot of running back and forth.
So that's something I'd like to bring up, actually, to get back on a serious thing. I think we've had a really great job. I'm going to get into manager speak a little bit, but there's an idea with teamwork, the phases that you go through with team building, and there's sort of a storming phase, a norming phase, and a performing phase. And I have seen us go through that. We spent a lot of time workshopping the show. That's our storming phase where we're getting to know each other. We're starting to get to where we want to be. A norming phase was definitely our go-go run where we performed the form that we had come up with to the letter. Like very much like we have to do this scene next and then this scene next. And we're definitely at the performing phase right now where we are figuring out how our form can be expanded and be pushed on and where we can extend things out and where we can compress them down and where for one or two sets we don't need this whole element. And that was a great, this was just a practice set that we did, but this one with the split Rangers, we did not have time to go through a large part of the, you know, really cool fights part of the show because we were doing this really awesome story with split time. And I feel like that's something that I really liked about this group is that we have had this great progression around our form and around our team.
That's cool. Yeah. It reminds me real quick of when Lauren Anderson was on the show once. She talked about what she thinks of, how she thinks of forms, and she thinks of them in like a jacket. Because a jacket is something that you wear and you wear around and it helps you throughout the day, but you never go up to somebody and say, look at my jacket, don't pay attention to me. And so you never sacrifice the performer for the form. And so if the performer sees what's good, then you stick with that. The jacket is just there to wear, to help encompass what's going on.
I know when I was so surprised when I looked back and saw that we had started as far back as April and May, because it feels still really fresh and new to me, and I also feel like we've just kind of scratched the surface. We've had a great time, but it feels like there's so many more things we can play with and explore and create, so I'm excited to keep going.
So last Matt's Continental Congress question. This one's going to be quick. What is your favorite pun, favorite best worst pun that you've used in the show?
I've never been firmer. Valentine's episode monster.
Oh yes, of course. That there were a lot of good puns in that one. What was it? The one Rita said, which as she threw her magic wand down and said, "Do for me what he never did for me. Make my monster grow."
And that was her ex husband, right?
Yes,
was the monster.
Rita's.
Yeah. The music one had a lot of good ones with the
Oh yeah.
Ghetto Blaster.
Yes,
Ghetto Blaster.
I feel like Blomberg is the best at that. Blomberg kills puns.
Yeah.
Not in a bad
way.
I mean,
the, like a good he was like a music monster.
Yeah.
And one, it was like, oh, you guys are a little sharp or something.
And then he threw little music note knives at the Rangers.
The book one had a lot of good ones, too. We were sort of fighting over them. It's like, no, you took my pun.
We're going to close the book on you.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's the second edition.
It's time to end this chapter. Time to turn the page.
All right, and now is the time of the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner.
This would be an appropriate time to clap.
I am not clapping. I refuse to clap.
He's hitting his hands on his legs.
That counts.
So this is a new segment we're going to try out today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stare at you each individually and awkwardly. We're going to make eye contact and hold it until normal people would look away, but we won't. Mm-hmm. Instead, I'll think of a question and I'll ask it of you. You'll answer brilliantly and quickly because there's still a lot of us. Amy.
Philip.
Would you live on a range or are you more of a city girl?
I would rather not live on a stovetop, thank you. I will stick with the city.
Puns!
Yes!
Puns!
Yes!
Okay, just pun. You don't have to actually answer.
It's not meant to be a deep revealing question about who you are as a person.
I was trying to be quick. I can answer for real.
Cicely.
Yes.
How many times in a year do you think you make stovetop stuffing?
Never. I always go from scratch.
Really?
What?
Yes.
Wow. Is that a lot of work?
No, because I make other people do it.
Oh. So you still don't make that either.
Exactly.
Okay. Zoa.
Yes?
What's one thing in your life that you wish you could just have someone else always do for you?
So many things. Mm-hmm. Taxes.
Oh, you could get someone to do that.
Good point.
You guys, tell Zoe about CPAs. Help her out. Jeff, if you were a CPA, but it stood for something else, what would you be?
Oh, I would be a...
Also, what does CPA stand for?
I would be a corn-picking archer. No.
And this is
cotton
for the
picking? A cotton picking archer, if I can change it.
Nope.
I do pick corn now.
Well, what does it have to do with archery? Is that just two things that you do, or are they connected?
It's just two. I'm like Hawkeye from, you know, Avengers? The Avengers, but I also pick corn. Okay. It's like people have to be multifaceted is my true belief. You can't just define people by a single dimension.
And you've never seen him pick corn with that arrow. It's awesome. Just shoots right through.
Yeah.
That's why they plant them in rows.
Exactly.
So you can just get them all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Michael, would you ever wear cornrows in your hair?
I would, but I fear that my hair is a little bit thin, so I don't know if it would look good in public or in private.
What's the most ambitious hairstyle you've ever actually had?
This. Which is not ambitious
Describe
at all.
Describe this. Yeah.
This is, I think I went into the supercuts and said, I want something that's just a shade longer than a crew cut.
Yeah.
And it is.
They nailed it. Way to go. Way to go. Great look.
Yeah, supercuts by the quarry. Supercuts. They're pretty good.
Rice.
Philip.
You have a lot of hair also. I don't want to talk about hair again. What's a thing that we could talk about hair that's not hair?
What's a thing about hair that isn't about hair?
Yeah, ask yourself a question based on based on the suggestion of hair.
Does
Moose?
Oh, rabbits.
Rabbits? Oh, hair. Yeah, hair. I get it.
Okay,
yeah,
ask yourself a question about a rabbit.
Ask myself a question. Have you ever heard of the new breed of rabbit that it cannot go outside? Yes, Bryce, I have. It's called an ingrown hair.
Oh! And that has been Phillip's Corner. Yay! Not clapping.
You almost did. Almost clapped.
All right, are you guys ready to do some improvisations?
Yes. Right.
Next up, bats.
We open on home economics class at the high school.
There are four stoves set up, each with a big pot of water boiling and a smaller pot of fudge sauce.
In the back corner, there's four sewing machines in a row, but they're all broken.
One of the pots is about to boil over.
There is a sign above the sewing machines that says, "So good, so what?"
No, did you burn yourself again?
Yeah, it boiled over. It happens.
You're supposed to use the hot pads.
It's okay. I found the first aid kit. Let me get you some bandages.
Thanks.
I really wish they'd give us better recipes.
I really wish the teacher were here. This is not safe.
I know. Everything's boiling away. And there's no ingredients. All we have is water. This is very odd.
What are you kids doing in here?
Home ec class, sir.
But what's with the mess? Who broke the machines over here?
Principal Wexenflex, those machines have been broken forever.
Yeah, ever since the drama team came in and tried to make costumes.
It's been not so good ever since.
How come nobody reported them? I didn't know they were broken. We have a special guest coming in to give a sewing presentation. And what are we going to sew with? Our hands?
There's a drawer of needles here. We could do it old style.
You kids better figure this out, because Sewing Master Marley's gonna be here in 10 minutes.
Sewing old style with just needle and thread?
Yeah, I'm afraid. I don't want to poke my fingers. It makes developing my photos harder.
Hey, guys, it's fine. I just noticed that my hands are kind of calloused now. We're not gonna feel it at all. We've been all fighting putties and all that stuff. No one's going to feel any of it.
We cut to the moon, where Rita is watching from her palace.
Oh, I see. The little teenagers think they're going to be crafty, do they?
They're going to make everything, my queen. They're going to sew. They're going to crochet.
It's time to break some threads and tie some knots.
Oh, yes, my queen. That would be great. What do you have planned?
What do I have planned? I have a pattern in mind. A pattern for a monster.
Oh, tell us, my queen.
I see thimbles and threads and needles sharp as knives. What can you make for me out of that?
A porcupine monster, my queen? They have needles?
Ooh. We can use the little toys from Monopoly. They're sharp.
If you step on them... I did last week when we were playing.
You're thinking too small, too small. I want something large. I want something patterned.
I'm sorry,
I want something
mistress.
That will go down a runway and never come back. Fashion. Fashion.
Ooh. We cut back to the school.
We are in the lunchroom of the school.
There has been a makeshift stage. Right at the back of the lunchroom set up with a banner that says, "Sewing Master Marley, today only."
Well, hey, Mr. Marley, I'm really glad that you could, come to our school. I hope it's clean enough for you, I hope this is going to be a good enough space.
Oh, yeah, sewing happens anywhere. Like, you can sew in the dirt. You can sew, at your mother's palace. You could sew anywhere. It doesn't matter.
We're just trying to, give you a space that you can show off and really, really show the people what can be done with sewing, everything that's possible.
Oh, yeah, sewing can, show your inner feelings. It can solve your problems, because when you're stitching, you quit your bitching, and then it just gets all, it's all out there on the...
Oh, sewing Master Marley, sorry, I'm so late with your latte. Here's your latte. I sewed the cup myself.
See how tightly you can stitch. Wow. It's watertight. You can hold a beverage.
That's amazing. I'm never going to look at a needle and thread the same way again.
Yeah, needles are, they cause holes, but you know what? You can close those holes too.
It's true. I've been working with Sewing Master Marley for only 3 years and I can already do cups.
We see Bulk and Skull enter into the room with mischievous looks on their face.
What are you dorks doing in here?
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
Well, we're showing Sewing Master Marley around the school. You know, this is where he's going to put on his sewing demonstration later on.
Sewing? That's demonstration. Dumb. I can sew, right, Skull?
Yeah, sure. We can do anything you guys can do.
Yeah, give me that thread.
Be careful.
You don't want it to unspool and wrap around your legs.
Well, here, just I'm going to make a hat.
Let me help you.
Bulk gets a needle through his eye, like right where his eye would be pierced.
The thread goes unspooling around the floor, around Skull's ankles.
As Bulk walks away, Skull is being dragged with him.
I can hardly walk. Shut up. It's just like dead weight.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Marley. Those two like to thread the needle. Sometimes we're beep, around. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep. Oh, I have to go check on my locker.
And I need to go with you. My book's in there.
We'll be back.
My presentation's about to start. You're going to miss the important beginning, the intro.
You got everything you need, Mr. Marley? Because I've got to get going quick.
Yeah, you don't need much to sew.
That's so deep.
Signal?
We cut to the command center. All of the Rangers have teleported there.
Zordon, what's going on?
Rangers, it's terrible. A new monster is attacking the city. Quick, look into the viewing globe.
Oh my gosh.
What is that? It's full of a...
It looks like a crocheted porcupine.
With tiny, like, pieces of games in it.
But it's got fantastic clothes. Like, runway model quality clothing.
Yeah. Look at the way it struts.
I know, Rangers. It's known as the Handicrafter. It keeps making new, smaller, and more deadly monsters as it goes. It's destroying part of the city and crocheting doors shut. People are locked in their houses. They have nowhere to go.
Oh, no.
Well, that won't be safe because if this gets on Etsy, it could be everywhere.
This thing could spread like the West Nile virus.
Really, Jeff? No, it couldn't.
it's a disease. I mean, I could have said the common cold, I guess.
No, it's not a disease. It's a monster attacking people. You need to stop it. It's Power Ranger.
It's a metaphor. I mean, Sicily talked about it going on Etsy, and if it gets on Etsy, then it gets out into the world, and then
it's still attacking. Time.
On the viewing globe, we see the monster just destroying, like, buildings.
Ow. But they're all empty.
Except for the Joanne Fabrics. It just devoured a Joanne Fabrics, incorporating in all of that polyester.
Rangers, it's destroying arts and crafts stores all over. This might be your most dangerous foe yet.
I wish Michael were here. He'd know what to do with the Michaels.
Blomberg or Renner?
All right, guys. You know what to do.
It's Morphin time!
Red Lion!
Yellow Bear!
Orange Tiger!
Black Dragon!
Power Rangers!
The Power Rangers flip into the air and they run out and they get off into the battlefield where they meet the monster.
Wow, he's scarier than I thought.
It's time to cut the threads on this one.
He looks really good, you guys. I mean, I'm actually feeling a little bit for this monster.
I understand. I don't want to ruin its cloak.
But it's wearing spots and plaid.
What's in now?
Holy crap, guys, putties.
Oh, putties. Watch your backs.
I got this one.
Watch out, oh, guys, he's got my arms.
I'll come help you.
We'll both help you.
Turn this way.
Thanks, guys. I almost got entangled up.
We see the monster getting away from the battlefield as the putties are distracting them, and the monster is going right towards Bulk and Skull, who are enjoying a giant sandwich.
Oh, this is...
The best bulkwitch I've ever made.
Bulkwitch, I like that.
Thanks. Hey, give me that. You don't get any of that half.
I was going to eat this.
Suddenly a big thread shoots out of the air and gathers around the center of the sandwich and slices it in half.
Oh, my sandwich.
Hey, that's half for each of us. No problem.
Bulkwitch, gonna run away.
Rangers, he's going after civilians. Do something.
guys, he's getting away. We gotta chase after him.
I don't know if I can, you guys.
You're tangled up.
What?
I don't know if I can kill this thing. Have you seen it? The way it looks at me.
You can't let its fashion blind you.
The way it makes my heart feel.
You distract the putties. We'll go after the monster.
We cut back to the school where the sewing presentation has been interrupted by chaos. The people inside are running everywhere.
Settle down.
I'm trying to help them there, but it's not working very well.
What's going on in here? Marley, do you have everything you need? Did they fix those sewing machines?
No, we're doing it by hand, all right? Like, you don't need machines to do a man's job.
Don't insult Master Marley.
Okay, you don't go up to
Picasso
and go,
Michelangelo.
Oh, where's your painting machine?
The turtle or the painter.
That's right. The art comes through the person, not through the machine.
I'm sorry, but what happened to all these children? Why are they running?
You can sew anything. It's amazing.
Yeah. There's so many monsters.
Are they sewing monsters? I don't understand. I was in the bathroom.
Ow! I'm getting poked with so many needles. Ow!
Look at my pin cushion. It looks like a ladybug.
There are tiny crocheted monsters like crawling over everyone, including Sewmaster Marley.
Sewmaster Marley, do you want me to sew a bunch of shields for the door and windows?
Yeah, why don't you just like crochet some barricades and make us okay.
We see them at supersonic speeds creating very strong crocheted like metal window panes for all the windows, and they start putting them up against the windows. It's obviously that this guy has superhuman sewing power.
Outside the school, the monster approaches.
We cut back to the Rangers.
We've got to get there before he gets into the school.
He's so close. We've really got to speed it up.
Let's wind this bobbin and make this happen.
We see that they have a makeshift like cannon that's made out of a gigantic thread. What's the thing called?
Spool.
Spool. A gigantic spool and a thread and a needle. These are all like large sized, larger than you would normally see them. And it's made into like sort of a catapult or a trebuchet sort of thing.
The best thing to do is do cross-stitch on this. If we can cross-stitch front and back, we'll trap this monster, and he won't know which way to turn.
Good idea, Cicely.
Let's hem this up.
They shoot the trebuchet, and it smacks into, the needle smacks into the side of the monster.
Good one, Cicely.
That landed.
They start reeling it in.
We gotta get this tied off before it can get away.
Just destroy it. Do the thing you normally do. Destroy it.
We're trying.
But Jeff has feelings.
He does. I'm afraid of.
At
we'll
this
cause
point.
Emotional damage.
Jeff, maybe there's something to this. Maybe you have a special connection that you could get through to this monster.
We've got it. Batten down. You can talk to it.
You have to take my sewing shears. You have to do it.
Jeff, you need to do this. Do it now.
Okay, guys. I'll do it for the good of you and the good of the city.
We see him as he approaches with the shears, and he's about to cut down.
Jeff, wait! I just became able to speak. I evolved.
Don't listen to it, Jeff.
I evolved, Jeff.
My love, no.
What?
Jeff, I only ever wanted to communicate with you. I went from norming to performing in this very instant.
I can't hurt something that's talking back to me, something that I feel so much for.
Jeff, they can't hear me. It's only you. It's only your heart.
It's talking to me. It's getting into me. It's getting into my head.
You have to do this. You have to cut yourself off.
Look at the sparkle of my cape.
The sparkle of my cape tells you everything that you need to know about my emotion for you.
Why is the monster doing that, Jeff?
We see that there is a thread that is circling around Jeff's neck right now and slowly choking him.
Jeff, I'm doing this because I love you.
You guys, this is a trap.
One of you grab the shears, cut the thread. He is dying. What do I need? Do the fighting thing.
I'll do it with my shears. I'll do it.
I love you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. That thing was getting into my brain. This thing is evil, and I think I can take it down now.
What we need is someone who knows master needlework.
Just use your weapons. You have them. Destroy it.
I can get this sword on.
All right. All right. All together.
One, two, three.
Jeff! Yeah!
Jeff, I meant every word I said.
He's down. He's down. We cut to Rita's palace. Oh, you think he's down, do you?
My queen, we can salvage this.
Oh, yes.
Let's time to add the special patterning work. Bring me my magic wand.
Oh, it's right here, your mistress.
Well, it's about time. Frogin, make my monster growl.
We see a giant wand. Stab in the ground in front of the monster, and it grows bigger and stronger, and all the crochet needles form armor around it.
Guys, she's so big now, I think I'm falling in love again.
Jeff, no!
Seriously, no!
Jeff, yes! Yes!
I think we need to call on the master of needlework. Let's get him from the school.
If I could only tear myself away from just a moment.
I'll just teleport him so he doesn't need to.
We get back to the school, which is odd because the monster is now stepping on all the buildings around the school. So there's like an earthquake and everything's shaking and everyone's falling over.
So Master Marley is in the middle of this just storm of stuff and he's just like calmly sewing.
He's able to hold his balance really well. His body shifts with the earth. And he's sewing perfectly. Meanwhile, the needles of everyone else are, like, going into each other.
Jeff teleports in right next to Sewmaster Marley. Sewmaster Marley, we need your help.
Even when the world is crashing around you, you can still sew in a straight line.
My God. Sewmaster Marley, do you know who I am? I'm a Power Ranger. And we need your help to defeat this monster that's killing the city. Can you sew in a straight line? Through my heart.
So, Master Marley, he doesn't even appear to be listening to your platitudes.
We know you have special powers, So Master Marley.
Yeah, the great thing about sewing is you can create the world that you want to live in, not the world that you're trapped in. Look at what I've sewn here.
It's a gun.
That's right. With straight lines.
A straight line gun. And it fires in a straight line.
Don't all guns fire in a straight line?
No, this one doesn't. I made one too, and it fires in a curved arc.
Yeah, he's still like an apprentice. Like in the movie Wanted. He's working on it.
I don't watch movies, I sew.
That's right.
So, Master Marley, we need this straight line gun to take down this monster that's taking down the city.
And my curved gun is just bullshit?
Yes, useless because you're only an assistant. We need a master.
Based on that logic, I'm just going to stab myself in the face with needles till I die.
Suddenly, the Black Power Ranger jumps
into
the room. That's
normal for this show, right?
No, we need both kinds.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Every man's talent has value. Join us on the battlefield. We will see this monster tied up together.
You have to aim carefully. I've only sewn one bullet for each gun.
Good to know. I'm glad we stuck around long enough to hear that.
Outside, the monster has just taken out the IDS building in Minneapolis and is standing about as tall as the IDS tower.
Guys, I wonder what's taking Jeff and Cicely so long. They need their help.
Suddenly, Jeff and Cicely teleport back in.
Thank goodness.
Guys, we got some guns that Sewmaster Marley crocheted for us.
And his assistant. Jesus.
And we brought his assistant with, too. But we didn't take Sewmaster Marley.
It's time. We need to call for more power.
Time to call on the Zords?
It's time to call on the Zords.
Right. We need Megazord power!
Megazord power!
Right!
Right!
I call upon the power of the Red Lion!
We see in the Minneapolis Zoo there is a cave, and you hear a mighty roar come from it, and out of it jumps a giant lion that is covered in metal, and then it just grows bigger and then runs towards where it's been called.
I call on the power of the Orange Tiger!
From that same exhibit in the Minneapolis Zoo, an even louder roar occurs, and a metallic tiger runs out of the cave, and you're wondering, why is there a tiger in the lion cave? But it doesn't matter, because it's running, and it's growing bigger into a giant metal monster.
I call on the power of the Black Dragon!
From that same cave in the Minneapolis Zoo, you see just a dragon's head, actually just smoke kind of billowing out from the cave. And then a dragon pokes its head out. It's totally black and metallic. Suddenly, it rises up in the air a bit and just whoosh, whoosh, swarms out of the cave.
I call upon the power of the yellow bear.
From a really small anthill in the corner of the city, crawls out a really tiny ant that turns into a giant bear made of metal. And it flies through the air because that's what robot bears do.
The lion comes down and it comes back on its hind legs and it makes the legs of some sort of larger thing.
The black dragon swoops in, its talons extended. It shoots out special needle-like talons and surrounds, making arms.
The orange tiger lumbers up on top and the head expands and the mouth opens and the large fangs and the
The yellow bear bounds over and each piece comes apart of its metal frame like little doors as it encompasses the entire Megazord in armor of its metal robot.
It is now just literally a larger version of the same yellow bear.
It kept the characteristics of the others.
Megazord,
activate!
We see this Zord kind of come to life and stamp around the city, the area near the monster.
By the way, my name is Keith.
Keith, just sit back in a corner in the cockpit here.
I guess that's what I'm doing.
Jeff, don't let him talk to you. Could be distracting.
It's okay. I'm keeping my visor blackened so that I can't see anything.
Good plan.
But that means that I can't aim the gun, guys, so you guys are going to have to talk me through it.
The monster right. And the Megazord go at it with an intense battle.
The monster shoots out a tangle of threads that wraps around the Megazord.
Ah! He's trying to pull the gun away!
Oh no!
Quick! Use the heat repelling. It'll melt the threads.
Burn the threads!
Good idea, Cicely. That worked.
It's very effective.
Listen, we have to counter those needles with the needles of the sharp claws.
Just fire the gun. You guys have two guns. Just fire them for the love of Zordon.
Zordon, we only have one bullet each. We have to make sure that we're lined up for the best shot possible.
Exactly. It's the biggest thing in the world. Just shoot it, please.
Aye, 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 Zordon. They're not listening to you.
I know.
If the hem isn't straight, I'm worried that my hands are never straight.
You can't shoot if the hem isn't straight.
It was sewed by that sew master. You're fine. Just shoot the gun,
and
please.
And his assistant. For God's sake. My name is Keith.
Keith, come over here.
Yes?
Put your hand on this console.
Okay.
Together, we're going to aim this gun, and we're going to kill this monster.
Okay, I feel like I'm finally being included in something.
I need your help, because this monster has stolen a piece of my heart.
The monster, for some reason, is just standing there watching this.
Tell me about your loss and emotional stuff. This Keith, Zordon guy seems patient.
Keith, before, I thought that the only love I would ever have in my life would be baseball. And maybe Hank Aaron, if I ever got to meet him in person. God willing.
Uh-huh.
But when I saw this monster, I saw how beautiful this monster is and the porcupine spines.
Well, you saw the beauty within.
I did. I saw that this was something that I could love.
Besides baseball.
Are you serious, Jeff? Are you serious right now?
Zordon, I'm having a moment with Keith.
You can have it after the monster's done and gone and dead and the city is saved. Come on, please.
Jeff,
Keith,
I'm worried.
Let's hit our buttons in 3, 2.
Wait, let's start over again. Do you mean on 3?
Seriously?
Wait, Zordon. I've noticed when they talk about feelings, the monster just watches them.
Alpha, not now. Just someone do something. Move forward.
Why don't we have everyone else count, and then we can push
you
the
guys
buttons.
Count for it. Now, is it on 3 or 1, 2, 3, go?
On 3.
Okay.
Okay, you guys count.
1, 2, 3.
We see the straight sewn bullet shooting forward, but when it hits the monster, it enters, turns around, and comes right back out. Quick, we have to shoot the other gun.
The gun that's
that
not
curved.
As good that Keith.
Yes.
I'm,
on 3.
At 2.
At 2.
Jeff.
Now.
I'm sorry, 1. Keith. I'm sorry I didn't trust you.
2.
We hit it on 2.
We see
but
that
we both hit it at the same time.
The curved bullet shoots out and intercepts the other bullet coming back. And they both ricochet back, tangling up the monster.
My love!
It gets into the monster and it moves around and unwraps everything. And the monster literally
fuck
has
you,
a pile
Jeff!
Of gray on the ground.
We see patterns of spots and plaid separating out in sheets. And suddenly we see items of clothing scattering to the skies. We see kilts and we see blouses.
And one beautiful cape floating down into Jeff's arms.
We cut back to the Rita's palace.
No! What happened to my beautiful patterns?
Well, mistress, it looks like it turned into clothes for the children.
What? What?
And a very beautiful new knitted IDS tower.
We cut back to the Power Rangers standing on the street with Keith and Sewmaster Marley.
Well, you guys missed my whole presentation. I guess you don't know anything about sewing.
Oh, I think we have learned from your assistant. He has given us insights.
He was very helpful.
Keith?
I took everything you taught me, Master Marley. But I think it might be time for me to move on with my friends.
Keith, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to love again, but with your help, I think I can move on from where I am at now.
Keith, yes? I have learned it, even though my hems curve at an arc that's inappropriate, they still get where they need to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank all of you for letting me know that my ideas are worth something, too, as long as I force my way in.
You just have to stand up for yourself.
Thank you. That's a better way to put it.
So, Master Marley, if you're willing, we could do with another one of your presentations.
I'm so-so on the idea.
Da 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 da!
Next up, Pat!
And that's our show. Thank you to the Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers. Thank you to
Amy,
Cicely,
Zoa,
Jeff,
Mike,
Bryce.
And to the two improvisers who couldn't be here,
Michael and Will.
Michael and, yeah. And that pretty much worked. So you guys have a run at Huge Theater, 31st and Lindale in Uptown Minneapolis. Not in March currently, but you do in April. On Wednesdays, is that correct?
Every Wednesday in April starts at 8 o'clock and it's $7. There will be other groups performing with us. And as of the 8th of April, we will have special guests every week who are very, very special and you're going to enjoy what you hear.
Don't want to miss these.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Do you want to plug any one of them or are you going to keep them all a surprise?
No,
it's up to you, Bryce.
I think, this is... Well, I will say that most of the weeks are just one person, but the final week is a group of people
that everybody loves.
That everybody likes and enjoys a lot.
It's 3 for all.
It's not just exploded.
It's not 3 for all.
But
sorry.
If 3 for all is listening, they're welcome to join us on April 1st.
Which is going to be a normal show.
Lovely. So check out everything else that's happening over at Huge Theater at hugetheater.com. Do you guys have a website that people can keep up with what's happening in your careers?
We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheImprovRangers. You can also probably do a search for Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers. It should pop up.
All right. And Philip, what do you have coming up?
The first local music scene big show at Brian Link Bowl is this last Sunday of this month, March 29th. The local music scene presents Jake Jones. That's at Brian Lake Bowl, 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening.
It's going to be fun.
And as always, you can go to youtube.com/PhilipSimendet to see minimum fare and songs and things.
Let's see. I've got, a group that I've been coaching has an Agogo run coming up here. So I believe this Sunday and the following two Sundays, a group called Glad You Are Well Rested is going to be performing, and they are a lot of fun, and they have some good stuff to show everybody, so go check them out. Improv Agogo is at 8 o'clock at Huge Theater on Sunday nights, and it is pay what you like.
Oh, I just wanted to put in a plug for the Troika.
Yeah.
It's happening on Wednesdays at Huge. I will be in with my my group.
Originally three. They had a great set.
And I would really love it if everyone would come out and just support all the groups because they are awesome.
Yeah, Troika's a whole lot of fun. And actually, I'll be performing at the main stage a few nights coming up here pretty soon too, but the BMW main stage, but I don't have dates yet, so... Sometime. Go anytime.
Every night.
Every night. Go every night, and I might be there. Fridays and Saturdays.
You can keep in touch with us with Next at Bat on facebook.com/NextAtBat. Send us a podcast. Send us a podcast at nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
We won't read it.
We'll listen to it.
And check out us and other great podcasts on noisepicnic.com.
And as always, check us out on iTunes. Go there, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review. Let us know what you think. And tune in next week when you will be listening to us talking to Tim, Troy, and Damien with their show, The Adventures of Tim, Troy, and Damien. That's Tim Hellendrung, Troy Zimmerman, and Damien Johnson. If you've never seen their show, then your life is incomplete. Do that. And until then, as always,
praise Jaibosh.
Praise Jaibosh.